live and local,
across the city
and South Cambridgeshire.
This is Alex Elbrook.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
I caught up with the 105 vet, Mifanwi Hill, earlier in the week to talk about three different but very timely topics. These were pet reactions to face masks, post-Brexit travel with animals, and the recent rise of pet thefts. And we started with face masks.
So obviously with coronavirus, we're all wearing face masks much more often, hopefully pretty much every time we go out of the house and every time we go to shops and things. And obviously we're also therefore wearing them at veterinary practices and potentially around our pets, including particularly our dogs when we're out walking maybe. And a lot of people have probably noticed that a lot of dogs seem quite unsure about people when they're wearing masks, even their owners, who they obviously know really well. And there's actually a really good reason for this, and that's that dogs are really good at reading our facial expressions. They live in large groups, they're evolved from wolves, so pack animals, and they're really, really good at reading each other's facial expressions, and this is one of their key mechanisms for communicating with each other. So as owners and pet lovers, when we cover our faces with a mask, it makes it a lot harder for our dogs to be able to interpret our facial expressions and to understand, you know, what our intentions are and work out where they are in the pecking order or in any particular circumstance. So as vets, what we're trying to encourage everybody to do is to get their dogs used to people with wearing face masks when you're at home, so that then if they do need to come into the vet practice and we need to deal with them, then they're maybe not quite as nervous, but also to try to encourage the dogs to become more comfortable with it, so that when you meet people out on walks, for example, that we don't get any increases in, for example, you know, dogs being very scared or dogs being anxious or even aggressive. And it's reasonably simple, the sorts of things that we need to do in order to help our dogs deal with this. It's things like getting them used to people that they know and trust, wearing a face mask, thinking that the face mask on a person is actually maybe a rewarding experience, and feeling comforted and reassured. So the way we do this is by using treats and play and cuddles, things like this, nice rewarding activities.
Would this be while you're wearing the mask?
Absolutely. So, yeah. And we slowly build up the time that we would be wearing the mask. So you start off maybe with a particular game without a face mask on, and then you'll carry on playing that game or giving treats or, you know, doing some training, and you put the face mask on for a short period of time, and all the time making sure that we're talking to our pets so that they can hear our voices, they know that they're being reassured. And then over a period of time, they'll start to get used to the idea that actually wearing a face mask isn't something to be too worried about. Now, this is something that tends to affect dogs more than cats, and that's just because cats are not group animals. You know, they don't live in packs like wolves do, and they're not very good at communicating via facial expressions, and so they really don't mind. So this is really something we need to concentrate on just with our doggy friends.
That's interesting that cats really don't care.
Yeah.
Now, one thing I wanted to check was that, we're wearing masks of all sorts of different patterns and varieties and some plain ones. Does that kind of make any difference to dog? I mean, I know I've seen people that have got ones that have actually got faces on, which I find quite scary, but I'm wondering whether dogs might like that one with a kind of smiley face or something.
Well, they might help, although the fact that the facial expression doesn't move might also perturb them a little bit, because obviously it's not normal. It's still not a normal facial expression, is it?
No.
And it's also a bit warped generally. Patterns and colours probably are less of a problem than the mask itself, partly because although dogs can see colours, they don't see quite the same range of colours that humans do, so they maybe see the world in a slightly more sepia tone anyway, so it probably doesn't matter quite so much what the pattern or the colour of the mask is.
That's a really good way of introducing them, because I know we're all finding them quite unnerving, but you're funny how fast you get used to seeing people walking around and just not taking
absolutely.
Notice.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's great. So we're going to move on to our next topic. So we're going to talk about this time around this time last year.
Did we?
But we obviously didn't realise that in the meantime, we're going to have a global pandemic and we're going to have an extension for Brexit. So what is the latest news on travelling with animals actually currently and also post-Brexit?
Yeah, absolutely. So currently, as we stand, the rules are exactly the same as they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So we're still operating under the European Pets Travel Scheme, which applies to dogs, cats and ferrets. And it means that you have to have a valid rabies vaccine and a valid European pet passport. If you want to travel outside of Europe and a few other designated countries, you have to go through completely separate sets of protocols. You will usually still need some sort of pet passport, but it's a slightly different protocol than the European travel situation. At the moment, it's just a case of getting those documents validated, and you can usually get those done reasonably quickly with your vet. However, from the 1st of January, I think it is, when the transition period ends, we obviously don't know quite what the situation is going to be. And that means, as far as pet travel goes, that it's probably best for us to err on the side of caution. Now, there are two potential scenarios which we could find ourselves in when it comes to pet travel. And that's that we get listed as either a part one country or a part two country. And that's, you know, basically just a way of categorizing which sets of rules apply to us. If we are an unlisted country, so basically the European Union don't keep us on their special group of pets travel scheme lists, what your pet will need to have in place in order to be able to travel to Europe is a microchip that is registered to your home address, and it needs to be vaccinated against rabies. And it needs to have had a blood test at least 30 days after the vaccination has been given. And that blood test is to check that your pet has responded to the vaccine appropriately, so that they're appropriately protected. And then you can't travel for a further 3 months from the date of the successful blood test. So that means that there's a total of 4 months lead time before you're actually able to take your pet abroad from the date of having your first rabies injection.
And so that means if you're not listed, though, isn't it? This is the worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario.
But we don't know what's going to happen yet, do we?
And we don't know what's going to happen, absolutely. So I'd really encourage everybody that is maybe thinking about travelling in, you know, early 2021, January or February time. And obviously with coronavirus and things, we don't know if that's going to be possible. But if you think it's even vaguely a possibility, it's really, really important that we get all of this stuff in place, because really we need to be doing it in the next 3 or 4 weeks in order to have that all in place by the beginning of January.
Is there a date that it runs out again? I mean, is this a thing that you have to have regularly?
So the rabies vaccine is annual if you're going to be traveling. It will depend a little bit on the brand of the vaccine that's been used. So some of them have got a couple of years, some of them have got 1 year. But I think for the European Pet Travel Scheme, it's an annual thing. Yeah. If we're travelling in January, we need to make sure all of this is in place before the beginning of September in order to make sure that we've got everything that our pets will need in order to come back into the country. Now, if we're not unlisted, the chances are that things will stay as they are. You just need to have the rabies vaccination, and then you can come in and out of the country fairly freely from a month after that injection. And obviously, you can always chat to your regular veterinary practice, and you can check out the government website. So DEFRA have a page on pet travel, and the British Veterinary Association also issue guidance on what the most up-to-date information is. So there's lots of resources, but it is very important if you are thinking about travelling early in 2021 to just make sure that you've got all of your ducks in a line and you've got everything sorted well in advance. So as I say, 4 months is the lead time on getting everything sorted for our worst case scenario.
Well, thank you for that. That's a really good one to flag up now then, isn't it? I thought we were being really premature on this, but not at all.
No, not at all, unfortunately.
So the last topic we're going to talk about today is something that don't really want to talk about, but it's becoming very shocking that we've been hearing lots of reports more recently, I guess, of dogs and cats being stolen in the last few months, more cases than normal.
Absolutely. Now, this is something that seems to be particularly heightened in the Cambridgeshire area, but it is actually happening in a few hotspots all over the country. And it's very worrying indeed. So there have been a really big increase in the thefts, particularly of dogs, but also of cats, not just, you know, fancy cats, you know, all pets are all domestic cats. And this is also including breeding bitches with puppies. So, you know, dogs, female dogs that have just had a litter of puppies, and they're stealing the entire litter, including the mum. So this is incredibly worrying, and it's something that the police in this area are taking very seriously, which is very encouraging. But it's something that all pet owners and actually all members of the public should be aware of, and in particular things that we can do to try to help make sure that our pets are safe. Things like not walking dogs off the lead in areas that you don't know very well, just to make sure that your dog can't obviously be snatched. So keeping them on the lead if you're somewhere that you don't know, and making sure that our pets aren't left unattended outside. That's obviously really difficult with cats, but cats tend to be a little bit less friendly than dogs and don't usually approach strangers quite as much. But, you know, making sure that if we can, getting them in at night, particularly if you know that there have been thefts in your area. Also looking out for unusual marks left outside people's houses or on gates and things. There's been some recent reports that houses where dogs, all of a similar breed, are known to live, have all had chalk markings.
I've heard that
on
too,
the
yeah.
outside of front gates and walls and things. So just keeping an eye out for things like that, maybe in your street and your area. And if you do find an abandoned pet, make sure that you contact either the dog warden or the RSPCA or your local veterinary practice and get their microchip scanned and see if we can get them reunited with the pets. Because we do also see sometimes that these pets, they are stolen and then they're dumped elsewhere, maybe because they don't look right, or maybe it turns out that they're a bit aggressive, understandably, if they've just been stolen, and they do sometimes get dumped in very strange places. So if you do see a stray pet, do make sure that you report them to somebody who's able to get their microchip scanned and report any concerns that you might have to the police in your area.
If you are looking for a dog or cat, you know, now that we've come out of lockdown, people thinking, right, I'd like to get a puppy now or a kitten. What should you be looking for, and what should you be suspicious of, I should say?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really good question. So whenever you're buying a pet, you need to really do your research, particularly if they're talking about handing over money. So in many ways, the easiest and probably one of the best things that you can do is to rescue a pet or adopt a pet from a rescue or rehoming centre. Always go for the bigger rescue rehoming centres. You know, in our area, Wood Green would be one of the biggest, but it's trying to find somewhere that is large enough that they are obviously registered. Be very wary of people trying to sell on pets using social media, or people that suggest that they're a small rescue centre that operates from their own premises or their home. They may be legitimate, but there's a very high risk that it's not legitimate at all. You should also always try to see the pet before you make any payments. If you're buying a puppy, you should be able to see the puppy with the mother. You shouldn't really be putting any deposits down or anything like that if you're buying puppies without having seen at least the mum, and preferably see the mum with the litter. Always ask the breeder if they'll give you the contact details of somebody that's previously purchased from them, and then maybe go and meet that puppy if you can do. And always do your research. Never go and collect a pet from some sort of halfway point. So people that are handing over pets in petrol stations, on motorways, because it's more convenient or whatever. This is another thing that's really a big indicator for something that's not legitimate. So you should always be able to go and see them in their home environment. And if you do think you've come across a pet that is either stolen or potentially puppy farmed, so you go to the environment, you think that it's, you know, it's not hygienic, the animals aren't being well cared for, don't hand over the money. It's very tempting to see these animals and think, well, you know, they're suffering, they're not in a good situation, I just want to rescue them and I want to get them out of that situation. But unfortunately, that money fuels the ongoing process of the puppy farming and of the theft. So if you think that it's either a puppy farm or that there's any concerns about it being stolen or that the animals are not being looked after appropriately, you should immediately report it to both the RSPCA and the police. There are lots of laws in place to protect these things, but unfortunately it's very tempting for people to just pay the money and take the pet home with them because they want to get them out of such a dreadful circumstances. So yeah, it's really important not to do that. And I think also, just in terms of keeping our own pets safe, it's really important, and I know I say this all the time, but it's so important that you check your microchip details, log on to the online service for where your microchip is registered, and make sure that your contact details are up to date. If you don't know the company that your microchip is registered with, speak to your veterinary practice. They'll be able to tell you who the company is. Even if they didn't implant it, they can scan the chip for you and tell you who the manufacturer of the chip is. And then you'll be able to go onto their website and register your own details, because particularly nowadays, because microchipping of dogs is compulsory, it's quite common for reputable breeders and reputable rehoming centres to get the dogs microchipped prior to them being rehomed or sold. And for the microchip to remain registered to either the breeder or the rehoming centre, and for new owners to forget that they need to actually update the contact details.
That's great. Thank you for that. And hopefully this will discourage people to coming and doing this horrible thing. So
yeah, absolutely.
So thank you very much for that. And hopefully we'll speak to you, next month about a different topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Cambridge 105 Radio.